We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest today is Jason Mung, and his title is Spiritual Warfare for Dummies.
All right, we're back.
Before you get started again, do you want to share about how people can keep up with you?
Yeah, you bet. So I do have a Rumble channel. We do weekly teachings. I try to get that. We teach on Wednesday night, so I try to have that posted by Thursday. Every once in a while through the Christmas holidays, I get a little bit behind there, but everything is caught up to date today. So those teachings are there. I actually have two spiritual warfare teachings that are already up over the last 2 weeks. That's what we're covering in our home group as well. But this kind of seemed to be the word for the hour today. So I brought that to the radio today, or to this podcast today. But so I am on Rumble. That can be found on either the App Store, the Google Play Store, or also on your Roku. My handle on there is Firewalker77. No spaces. That's all one word, Firewalker77. You'll see this big guy with a big beard, and it's kind of a funny picture. I did that just to kind of grab attention. I'm a goofy dude, so I thought I would show that there. But you can definitely find us there. Again, weekly teachings are there. I think there's up over 30 teachings now that are posted on Rumble. It's a great resource for people just to bring encouragement to the body of Christ. So if you have somebody that maybe needs some of that, go check that out and forward those on. Share that message, because God is speaking definitely for sure in this time. One of the things I really loved this morning, I was listening to Julie Green on her podcast on Rumble as well. And she actually used the verbiage, "This is the hour of power." She said that this morning, and I got excited. I was like, I'm about to go do that myself. And I thought, this is awesome, yeah. Because it is. This is the hour of God's power. And as we've been talking about this morning, I'm telling you, there is such an urgency on the inside of me of things that are coming, an excitement like I've never had before. And I tell people this, and some of them are like, yeah, I agree. And then some of them look at me like, what the heck are you talking about, you know? But I'm just trying to wake people up to what's coming, because I know things are coming. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me over the last couple of years. There are things that are coming, again, that are unprecedented, that are biblical in nature, things that we have never seen, things that are outside of the box of our mind at this moment. But we are going to see God move and intervene in ways that we've never thought possible, right? So I'm excited about that. So we're going to continue on in the spiritual warfare for dummies. We're going to start looking at forgiveness. And let's look at, we're going to go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. So it says in this scripture, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place." So this is one of my favorite scriptures, especially in this time. I love the scripture anyway, but this scripture is alive right now, because this is the time. This is a time for the body of Christ to humble. Again, that word, we've seen that consistently through this whole thing, to humble ourselves, to pray and to seek God's face, right? But what it also says in this place, a lot of times as Christians, we understand the need to seek God. But it also says we also need to turn, right? And when you go and you look at the word repentance, that's actually what that word means. And we've talked about that, a little over the past few months on the show, and repentance and what that looks like. That's the turning, mm-hmm. right? If there's something in our life that we know is not for us, then all we do is return. We turn from it. We repent. We change our mind in that way. And this is what God is calling us to. If we'll pray and seek his face and turn from those things that we know are not for us, right? How do we know? We look at the word of God. He gives us a very clear picture here of these things are for you and these things are not. And I even know through the religious system, sometimes you can look at that and this word will actually become a do and a don't list. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that if it becomes a do and a don't list for your life, you're going to fail at it miserably. Look at the Old Testament. They were given a do and a don't mm-hmm. list, right? And they couldn't do it. They couldn't stand up to the plumb line that God had established. But that is the joy of the new covenant and what God brought into the Holy Spirit in our lives, is that now he writes that on the tablet of our hearts. It becomes our guide, and we walk out that salvation in our life. That doesn't mean that we're going to do this without failure. It means that in our failures, in our falling, we're just going to rise back up and we're going to continue on, mm-hmm. right? And so what he's talking about here, in that place, pray and seek God. Turn from your wicked ways. And then he says, I will hear. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive those things. And again, as we look at forgiveness here in the spiritual warfare, that is something that we receive from God. And anything that you do receive from God, you must freely give. Always. That's something that God has put in our lives. We don't give love, we become it. Right? Why? Because that's what God is. God is love. He stuck himself inside of it. According to the word, merged his spirit with ours. You are it too now. So go out there and live it. Right? Be love. Don't do love. Be it for people in your life. And you will find that, because there'll be some places, you know, we have these weird words, tough love. Right? We have these weird words as Americans, or even in the English language, whatever you want to talk about. So tough love, that doesn't even make sense. That's an oxymoron. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love doesn't hold record of wrongs. There's nothing tough about that, right? And I know that goes against the psychology of man and the teachings that sometimes we bring, thinking, well, I can't enable. I'm not enabling. I'm loving. Loving actually brings change to that person's life. It does not enable them to continue to walk in. Love is the opposite, right? But when we look at those through a skewed view of men's psychological views, we're not seeing the truth of God's word. We're not seeing the truth. It is truly love that will bring someone out of that place they're in. And I can give you personal testimony. I have people that are very near and dear to me that have told me they were walking in addiction, completely their lives torn apart, overwhelmed and overtaken by addiction in their life. And they said it was because of your love. It was because that you never quit. Oh, I could have said, well, I'm not going to help you anymore. I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that, because that's just enabling your life, right? I'm going to enable in your life by being there in every moment that I can, showing you the truth of God's word, loving on you with my whole heart, with a heart that he has given me, in a way that will bring transformation to your life. That's what God will do, right? And I've seen that firsthand. I have people that are in my life, in my family, that because of that right there, it's because you loved me that it brought change to my life. And now they are completely addiction free. And I love that. That is so cool. Verse 15 here. That was a little rabbit trail. Verse 15, I love this part. He says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. Prayer, whole nother teaching. Don't have time to get off on that, but I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here for a moment. We have made prayer to be about us, about my needs, my peace, my, all the things that I need. And when I look at the word, and this is something that I'm going to build a teaching on, because God's been stirring this up in me, about what prayer really looks like. Because if we're truly walking out this thing that it says, we should be praying for others, and others will be praying for us, so everybody's covered. But if I get in a place where I'm only focusing on the things that I need, that's a place for the enemy to come in and point everything to selfishness, making it all about me, you know? And God didn't call us to make it all about me. As a matter of fact, here he's talking about a nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right? Then he'll forgive their land, or forgive their sins and restore their land. But he reiterates there, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to those prayers made from that place, a place of humility and turning away from those things that we know are not of God, right? That is how you know your prayers are answered. Moving on, Proverbs 17 and 9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And that's just a little, I love Proverbs, because you don't have to say much to say a lot, right? There's so much packed into all these little Proverbs that I think is so awesome. And I really love this one. Again, when we're talking about forgiveness, love prospers when fault is forgiven. And as we've seen through various scriptures this morning, walking in unity, what is walking in unity look like? It means overlooking those faults of others. Or if my heart did take offense in that moment, to say, you know what, I choose forgiveness. And what I love about this, as we go through unity and forgiveness, they tie into one another, right? One does not exist without the other, because forgiveness brings unity. Mm-hmm. Unity brings forgiveness, right? Those are things that God has given for us that work together. And that's so encouraging to me. We're going to go into Colossians 1. And if y'all don't have time to follow along, just write these down. Go back and check these out when you're spending time with God and your word. Colossians 1, we're going to go to 13 and 14. It says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." We have to understand that when we're walking in spiritual warfare, there are two kingdoms at play, right? There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. And as we see here, God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. So that is no longer a kingdom that we dwell in, that we want a part in, that we want to hang out in. We don't want any part of the kingdom of darkness. We want to be walking in the kingdom of light, right? And as he states here in the end, he reminds us of him who purchased our freedom and forgave what? Forgave our sins. Forgiveness is a huge part of remaining in the kingdom of light, right? Because if you're walking in unforgiveness, guess what? Your foot is hanging over in the kingdom of darkness. You don't want to be over there. Unforgiveness will bring things to your life that you want no part of.
Yes, it will.
Right? And we can probably all verify that mm-hmm. by our own experiences. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we've all been through those places where there's that one circumstance, that one situation, that one person. Boy, they got us deeper than anybody. They had the longest knife, right? I get it. Been there myself. But I understand the truth of the gospel is way bigger than any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will put me in a bondage that I never want to remain in. I want to remain in the kingdom of light, which brings peace, right? I love that. All right. Faith, our last one. You know where we're going here? The book of Hebrews. Let's define it according to the word of God. Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of the things that we cannot see. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 6 real quick, which says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Right? So you cannot walk in this Christian walk without faith. As a matter of fact, it took faith to get you in this Christian walk, right? You had to believe in something that you've never seen. You had to believe in something that you never heard. You had to believe in something that, or a person that you could never touch. But by faith, we accept the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we do that into our lives, we see change. And that's what I love. That is, and people often, they're looking at this and I know people even at this moment are saying, "What does this have to do with spiritual warfare? Like this doesn't sound offensive at all." And even I started asking those same questions when God was showing this to me. And one of the things I noticed, do you realize that when you're playing a game, let's use football for example, when you're playing a game, it is all about the end, right? It's all about the score that's at the end. It doesn't matter if you're on offense or defense, the game is still being played. And the way I look at this in spiritual warfare, there is a posture that we must take in the truth of God's word that is not offensive, but rather just remaining, right? It's a defensive stance. Mm-hmm. It is, in this moment, I'm going to remain in the truth of God's word. And what I love about it, as you see God's word, he's the one that fights the battle anyway, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood,
right?
I didn't bring out that scripture. That's something y'all are all familiar with. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
That was one of the biggest scriptures that I held on to that helped me.
Yes.
With forgiveness.
Yeah. Because it gets your eyes off the person.
Yes.
That hurt, right? And it gets your eyes on the truth. And faith is one of the most key factors in that, because faith is the only lens that we can see things that we can't see. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing things that are out there. What did it say there in verse 1? It is the reality of the things that we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we haven't seen yet. But what we must do is line up our speech, our hearts, our attitudes to what? To that reality of what we're hoping for. To know that God will bring that forth. Why? Because he said it. Because he said he would. And I'm applying my faith to say, "You said you would. I agree." That's my faith, right? I agree to those things. And now I'm going to see those things change in my life. And if we're looking at those things, whether it be people or the circumstance that we're going through, if we get our focus off of God and we put our eyes on those things, then we've become distracted, right? We have moved outside of our stance of spiritual warfare to say, I will not be moved in this moment, right? No matter what the enemy tries to bring against me or person through enemy, understanding even if it's person, it's the enemy, right? And that's something that we understand. That's a truth that a Christian, a maturing Christian, will finally see. Oh, it's not about them. It's about what's behind them. Mm-hmm. It's about the pushing force. Again, what would we just see according to the word? There are two kingdoms, and they are always at work, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And it is where those people are choosing to live and remain in that their actions and attitudes come forth out of. And as a Christian, if we're remaining in the kingdom of light, exactly that. Mm-hmm. Those attitudes and heart, all that comes out of in the kingdom of light, it's love. But in the darkness, guess what? It's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's hurt, it's pain, it's envy, it's jealousy, it's all of those things, right? And those things can bring hurt to our life. That's why God says, hey, just don't hold that against them. Let it go, because it will bring no detriment to them,
right?
But it'll bring all of that to you, right? So we don't want to be any, we don't have any part of that. We want to walk in the faith of God. So we're going to go into James 1, and I'm going to read verses 2 through 8 here. Dear brothers and sisters, consider, or when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our God generously, or ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. For when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in it. I could preach an hour sermon right here. Right? But I do want to pull some of these things out. And I'm going to speak some truths here that may be a little bit a big pill to swallow. When we look at the instruction of the word here, he says, when troubles come, consider it an opportunity for joy. That's the last thing on your mind, right? That's the last thing on my mind when circumstance of life shows up. All right, sweet. I have an opportunity to get happy. You know, all I'm looking at is what, how this has affected me, this, that, and the other, you know, and it doesn't matter whether that's a big thing or a small thing. I mean, I woke up this morning, had to do a few things before I come in for the show. I go to start the car, first thing, brrr, dead battery, you know? And we have choices every, or like moment by moment throughout the day. I had a choice right there. I could have got aggravated. I could have lost my peace, you know? Oh my gosh, here's my day. I'm going to be late. It's 9 degrees out at 9 a.m., you know, not comfortable to the flesh, to the body, but I had a choice. I had a choice to say, this could either be an opportunity for great joy, or I can allow this to steal my peace. I'm not letting anything steal my peace, right? The more I walk through this life with God and realize, dude, it ain't worth it. It is not worth it giving up my peace. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, you have the choice whether you give up your peace or you remain in it. You have that choice. And then he goes on to say, for you know when your faith is tested, endurance has the chance to grow. So in these places, and it can be little things, it can be big things in our life, understand the truth of that is, this is a moment for me to learn how to endure. Because I understand the truth, which is I'm going through. I will not always remain where I am now. I will be on the other side of this. And it is as I, in verse 5, if I need wisdom, I ask God for it. And that's how the direction to go through those things are continued in my life, right? God is going to be there for you to bring you through those circumstances in your life, which is exactly why in this place we must remain. We keep our peace in this place. Keeping your peace is one of the greatest tactics of spiritual warfare you will ever have. It is one of the greatest tools that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And peace has nothing to do with offense, right? It is a holding on to something you have already been given, that you have been promised, and nothing is going to take this away from me. Now, you want to talk about fighting words? You're going to get fighting words. You try to come take my peace. Mm-hmm. And those words are going to be the word of God. No, mm-hmm. this is contrary to the word of God. So I'm not going to allow that in. I'm not going to be part of that. So peace is a big part of spiritual warfare in that. He just goes on to explain down in the end. Do not waver, for a person who has divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea. Have you ever been to the ocean? Like, those things are chaos, right? Mm. The waves of the sea, and what's crazy, much like circumstance in life, you can look out there for a moment and it's just little rolling waves. And then the next thing, you know, you look out there and it's just tumultuous, just crashing, right? And that's the same in our lives in some ways. But what does he say here? Don't waver. Don't waver from what? Those things that we see above that, the truths are there, asking for wisdom, remaining in that. Remaining in my faith in that place. Don't waver from that, because if you do, you'll be tossed about just like those waves are by the wind. And it says, even so, the further truth here, such people shouldn't even expect to receive anything from God, because their loyalty is divided between God and the world. The word is very clear about what God looks at how he views a lukewarm Christian. It would be better for you to choose the kingdom of darkness, because if you are remaining in a place of torn loyalty, he's going to spit you out, right? He's going to spew you out of his mouth, because that is a place where you have no loyalty. You're riding the fence to see which way do I need to jump at the last minute for whatever I need to do. Maybe I'll go over here. Maybe I'll go over here. We can't be riders of the fence. And this is something, a word for 2023 that God had showed me. He actually gave me a vision, and I've just seen this long white picket fence as far as my eyes could see. And I've seen people just sitting on it, like all the way down on the top rail, and people were just sitting on that fence, and I seen God's hand just go on top of that fence and just run down that fence, and people went off on both sides, right? He was pushing people off of the fence. And what now that I see, what he had shown me earlier on, was he has been speaking of a great shaking that is coming, and what is about to happen in not only the United States of America, but on a worldwide fashion. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, right? But what I love is if my faith and my loyalty is in God, I live in a kingdom that can't be shaken, right? So in this moment where the shaking is happening, those who have found your place on the fence, choose now. Get off. Because if you do not, a shaking will come that will knock you off of that fence. And I'm hoping that you land in the right place in there, because you have a choice to this moment. As again, he said, such people shouldn't expect. There is an expectation that we can have from God by the way that we live our lives, right? And the way that I can live my life in this way is choosing to walk in the faith of things that even though I don't see, but know that according to the word of God, he is going to bring forth his will and his purpose. But what I love about this, he has asked us along for the journey, actually to even be a part of that, mm-hmm. right? When the words of the prophets are spoken, then I am to come into agreement with those things and then start with my speech and my prayers to continue to call those things in, right? If God says, I am freeing America, then the speech from my mouth should never be, oh my gosh, look what's going on around right. me, right? Go back to the book of Exodus and read and see the attitudes that the Israelites had in that moment. God had promised their freedom mm-hmm. at the very beginning. Let my people go. That was a direct command to Pharaoh, and he was saying, freedom will come. Freedom will be the end of this, whether you choose it or not. But what I love, the Israelites also had the same choice to make, and we do too. Mm-hmm. We must make the choice to agree with the words of God and say, if this is what you're saying, then that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to say anything contrary to that. And we see that in the life of Jesus through the New Testament. He clearly spoke to his disciples and said, I don't say anything that my Father in heaven's not saying. I don't do anything that the Father in heaven is not saying to do. And you, as being part of the body of Christ, you have the same mandate. Mm-hmm. If God is not saying it, don't say it. If God ain't saying to do it, guess what? Chill, relax, wait, abide. Just relax in that place. And when the time to move has come, God will give that instruction and we will do that. And this is a big part, again, the spiritual warfare for dummies. This is simple. This is a simplistic part of the truth of the word of God, to say, I will remain in faith in him, no matter what I see going on around me, to know. And my speech will agree. I will agree in my speech. And that is not only in your prayer, people, you know, because I have encouraged people over and over. You have to say what you pray, mm-hmm. and you have to pray what you say. Yes. They cannot be the opposite. And I've seen that through the body of Christ. I've seen that in my own life. And that's when God brought that to say, turn. It's time to turn, right? Because in that place, you're praying things in your closet, and then you're going after them and you're saying something else.
Speaking word curses.
That's not an agreement. Right. Yeah. Why would I do that? And some people do that so much and not even realizing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. That's why this is spiritual warfare for dummies. Do you understand that you're standing in the power and the warfare position that God has created you when you just remain, when you speak the things that he's speaking, when you do the things that he says to do? That's warfare. That is a warfare in your life because, and to me, I always look to the book of Joshua for this. So the story of the falling of the walls, right? When Jericho fell. Mm-hmm. In that place. That was a day of spiritual warfare, but not one sword was picked up, you know? That was a day where they just walked in obedience to the things that God said to do. As a matter of fact, the walls of Jericho fell by voice and song. Mm-hmm. And so in those places, when you can do nothing but maybe praise and worship God, guess what? That's warfare. You're remaining in what God has for you in this moment until further instruction is given. Because there will be some times that he will give you words to declare, and to decree. Then we're kind of going on the offensive move. But the simplistic part of warfare in this place that we're covering today is not the actions, but rather just the abiding, just holding my peace, walking in unity, giving forgiveness in those things. Because in that place, you set yourselves up as a stance of warfare that the enemy cannot come in and crush your life. So, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're about to close down. Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace and when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So this one, again, walking in faith, our salvation only comes by our faith, right? And he says here, salvation is not the reward for what you do. Right. It's free. It's a gift that God given us so that none of us can boast by, well, look what I'm doing to earn this that you've given me. No, I don't need to do that. I just need to remain in my faith, right? Mm-hmm. And last, Galatians 5 and 6. Go read this whole book. Mm-hmm. I love Galatians. I'll highlight in here, and this one's the colored pages. Galatians 5 and 6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Mm-hmm. So, again, I just love how even these three words, how we've seen them consistently tying themselves together through the word. What is important is faith expressed in what? Love, right? So when we walk in these things, and again, if spiritual warfare is something that is very new to you, maybe it's something, you know, just in my own life, I know that there has been kind of two sects of the Christian church when you mention the word spiritual warfare. You have one over here that they're doing crazy out of the box kind of stuff, and the other group of people over there looking going, y'all are crazy and out of the box, right? You're doing some really crazy stuff. And it's almost like there's not much middle ground in this about the body of Christ, in this topic. It's like you're either in one camp or the other. It's either all them people over there are crazy and we're just over here being the normies, or the people all over here that are walking in some of the things are looking at those saying, y'all need to get out of your box and get over here, right? And a matter of fact, spiritual warfare, if we're not careful, can actually even bring division. And that's exactly what we can't do, as we've qualified today. We must remain in a unity. So I don't care what your stance on, what you've learned so far when it comes to spiritual warfare. Don't get these mindsets in your mind or let feelings arise. Because as we've seen here today, walking in unity is one of the most important things. And sometimes remaining in unity, I have to overlook someone's fault, right? whether it is a fault or not. If I perceive it as one, overlook it, right? Because that is how we're going to walk in unity in that place. Because I know this is a topic, when you come to the body of Christ, that is something that can be very controversial. And that's why I was really amazed that when God said we're going to go into spiritual warfare, how simple he kept this. You know, this was very simple today. Mm-hmm. These are things that we can look into our, or we can apply to our lives, that we can walk in knowing that in that place we are remaining in our warfare stance in those in Christ. And believe me, there's more in here that it goes on the offensive, but maybe this today for you was a foundation into spiritual warfare. But this is a place definitely that we can grow from. Because there are places where we are called to be offensive, to get in and move in the things of God, and speaking and declaring those things out. Mm-hmm. And that is a bringing forth of the word, the sword. We're bringing it out. That is for us, but not in today's teaching. So we'll go there. If this is something that you're interested in and want to continue to hear, again, I had mentioned previously the Rumble channel. Again, this will be something that we're covering in our home group on Wednesday nights. We would also love that you would join us there here in Elk City. If you have time for that, we Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 8. What I do want to do, I will go back to this post today, and I will actually put a link on there to my Rumble channel, because I know some people who aren't real computer savvy, may be kind of hard for them to find. So I'll actually link that. I'll get into the comments later on after this program's over, and I will post that so you guys can have that information available to you. But this will be something that, again, this is very foundational, but this will be something that we can build into to see us doing spiritual warfare in the body of Christ. And lastly, before we close, one of the things that God showed me in this that brought great understanding to me, and I love to just look at analogies and allegories because they just make sense to the mind, you know. And one of the things he showed me was, like, think in the natural. If we're looking at the armed forces, you have generals who are at the very top, and then you have troops who are at the very bottom. That's the way that we categorize. That's the way that we look at it. But when you look at that in context to the Word of God, it says, as a body of Christ, or as the army, right, there's not one part that can say to the other, I don't need you, that I can do it without you. Because this is what I know, even looking at the natural. If I was to take a troop, the guy with the bronze, and stick him in the office of the general, we would lose the war. Because he doesn't have the brains, he has the bronze, right? Or the opposite is just as true. If I were to stick the office of the general into the boots of the troop, we would lose the war. Why? Because he's the brains, he's not the bronze. It takes both of those for us to fulfill what God is calling us to in this warfare. So don't disqualify or even try to qualify yourself into position into the army of God. That's his choice. Mm-hmm. You're the clay, right? You only need to seek his heart for what your part is. What is my part? How do I insert into this body of Christ, into this army of God? What is my calling for this, God? And as he shows you to that, walk it, and walk it well, right? Because some he is calling to be generals, but some he is calling to be the foot soldiers. Some of you are the boots on the ground, that every place that you place your feet out there on that dirt, you are taking back ground for the kingdom of God. And nobody else may know that. Nobody else, but God does, mm-hmm. right? And that's so important. That's why we have to be careful as the body of Christ, because oftentimes they will look to the fivefold ministry, to those speaking gifts, and they will elevate them to a place that is not proper. Those are a gift to the church. Our job and our mandate, and for those who understand that, is to build up, to equip the body of Christ, right? And my heart is that those who are called to that will do that well. You know, that we'll do that well, that we will speak those things, because God has put those people in those speaking positions to instruct, to build up, to encourage, to give those troops sometimes some marching orders, right, that have came from the throne room. And understand in that place, it will always agree with the Word of God. So if you hear voices that are saying some things, then always bring them to the Word of God and say, do they agree? Right. And if they do, guess what? Run with it. If they do not agree, table it. Because you may find that that may come out later, or you just didn't find the landing strip in the Word yet for that to come about. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't put the, what does we say? Don't get the heart, the cart before the horse, mm-hmm. right? We want to keep the horse in front of the cart in this place. So when God gives you something, understand sometimes that's always not for right now. Sometimes that's to marinate inside and for you to seek greater truth in that. And even in those places where we don't see it, the same with other members of the bodies of Christ, again, as we've seen today, remain in unity. Don't let that go, because that's your warfare stance, to remain in unity. And when we do that, I love it, and this is what I always go back to. That's where God himself says, my face is turned towards you and my ear is tuned to your prayers. He is going to hear it, and then what does he say after that? I'll answer. I will answer. And as an encouragement today, I'm here to tell you guys today, I haven't brought up too much. I just keep saying things that are coming. I haven't gone into too much great detail about that, because for me, I think this is something that as we awaken, there's some of these things that God just has to speak to us on a personal level to wake us up,
right?
Because if not, sometimes when we share some of those things, it becomes overwhelming and even fear motivating. And I don't ever want to do that. I do want to give the body of Christ a heads up, because God is speaking to my spirit, and he has been. There are things coming that are unprecedented, that are biblical, things that will be outside of your mind. But that's why we have a God that lives outside of all of the things, time, space, all of those things. God lives there, and we have access to him at any time, in any place, right? And as a matter of fact, knowing as a Christian, he literally is inside of me to be my strength in those places. So we will pursue the things of God. We will walk into the future, not by fear, but by faith, knowing that God will keep his children. And again, for a reminder of that, go back and read the book of Exodus. God protected his own, right? And God is going to do that again. A shaking is coming, a shaking greater than we've ever experienced before. But you are going to see a move of God again, like you have never seen before. And that is what excites me. I do not fear the shaking, because I live in an unshakable kingdom. But I do live with excitement to know God is doing something in the body of Christ that he has never done before. Mm-hmm. We have never seen before. And as a matter of fact, according to the words of the prophets, what she said was, there will be moments. And she said, there is no man that has ever lived on the face of the earth that has seen anything that will compare to the things that you, me and you, are about to see. And when I look at the word of God and he says that I was put here for this time, for this place, for this purpose in history, that excites the heck out of me, right? And I hope it does to you yes. too, because God put you here for this time, for purpose, right? And there is not one of you that has said yes to Jesus that lives without purpose, because you all have purpose. And if you haven't found that yet, start talking to fellow Christians around you that have found yours, and let them encourage you and show you along the way, mm-hmm. because that is for each and every one of us. And that is simply the maturing of the body of Christ. As we walk in maturity in him, we start to see those things better. So as you recognize those people in your life, whether it be teachers, friendships, mentors, whatever that is, lean into those relationships, because now is a time for that unity, for that closeness, for that oneness that God has spoken about through his word, that unfortunately, a system of religion has brought in division to, mm-hmm. right? And we have to get outside of that. And I know, you know, I see that on social media. I see that even in the relationships around me. People are leaving church. They're leaving church. And it's not that they're leaving God. And I love that, because when they're leaving church, it's because they're leaving a system that man has gotten their hands too involved in. And they are turning that into something that is taking us away from the truth of the gospel. And I'm not here to name names, but I would just put the American Christian Church right at the top of that list and say we've missed it.
Yeah.
We have missed it as much as the Pharisees and Sadducees were missing it in the day that Jesus showed up to bring forth the truth. And ask God to align your heart to the truth of his words, and allow him to reveal the truth, and to sift out those things that are chaff in your life of religion, because religion is chaff. That's all it is. It is all about a relationship with the Creator in this. So I hope you've been encouraged today. Again, take no offense in the title Spiritual Warfare for Dummies, but my heart in that was just to bring this down to a simplistic level where we could see the truth of God's word, walk in and remain in that.
We appreciate you coming and sharing. It is an exciting time to be alive.
It is.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, and my brother in Christ, Jason Mung, y'all have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.